Welcome to the Riverwood Chapel Podcast. We're so excited you're here. Please check out our other content and video uploads at riverwoodchapel.org. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Riverwood. We're glad that you are here to worship and to hear God's word. We have gathered to hear from the book of James this morning, and we start with this word, paradox. What is a paradox? If you're not familiar with the word, it's a Greek word, and it really is two words being coming together to form one word, para, this idea of opposing or opposite, and the word dox, this idea of opinion and thought. And so paradox, and when you put it together, is the combining of opposite thoughts into one idea that may sound contradictory. And so many times paradox happens in the things that we see, the things that we hear. We are surrounded with paradox all over the place. Sometimes it makes us laugh when we see it. Images like this are an example of paradox, right? Someone laughed, right? Just want to make sure, right? Sometimes paradox, when we see it, it frustrates us. This is another example of paradox. Where does it end? Where is coming together, these two things coming together to make one. Now, not only do we see that in the things of what we see, but also the things that we hear. Teachers throughout centuries, people have used paradox, the combining of two opposite ideas. And when we hear them, it makes us pause and to wonder, is there any truth there? Much like this statement, at every end, there is a very new beginning. Endings? Beginnings? Is it possible? Or how about this? The more you fail leads to moments where you will succeed. Failure, succeeding. Is it possible? The more you spend will provide more opportunities to save. Is it true? You see, whenever we hear paradox, it causes us to stop and to think deeper. When you hear them, they're like speed bumps. The paradox. Is it really true? Well, let me tell you, the Bible is littered with paradox. One of the greatest teachers to walk the face of the earth used paradox over and over and over again. His name was Jesus Christ. And he wasn't just using paradox to make you stop and wonder as disciples or as Pharisees or the crowds. I mean, they did that, but what Jesus did with paradox was this. He wanted you to embrace and embrace and believe the paradox because the world is going in this direction, and Jesus was saying, but my followers and me are going in this direction. And so he used paradox all the time. Some of them you've read in the Sermon on the Mount. Here are a few more. There's lots of them. Here are a couple of them. Jesus would say, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Losing life, finding life. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Humbling and exalting, how is that possible? Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. The world is going in this direction, and Jesus says, my kingdom, my followers are going in the opposite direction. Embrace the paradox of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus was one who spoke of paradox. The other New Testament writers picked up on this, and they too used paradox. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament. Notice what he would say. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Wait a second. Power? Weakness, how is that possible? In Romans, when we studied Romans, there was another paradox that Paul spoke. He said, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, having been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. Wait, a slave leading to freedom. How is that possible? Embracing the paradox of the kingdom of God. And so today we get into the book of James, and he's going to throw some more paradox at us. More things to ponder, more things to think about at a deeper level. The speed bumps that will cause us to think, will we embrace them? These are a couple of paradox we're going to see in the book of James that will really challenge every single one of us here. We're going to have an honest conversation about the things of this world, of wealth, and the things of poverty. That's the kind of level of conversation. I'm glad you are here. There's going to be something challenging for every single one of us to listen to from God's word. All right, so we're going to be in the book of James, and along the way in this study, we have produced these little booklets, and it's simply a way to take notes. If you want one, they'll be at the exit there. It's just God's word on one side of the page. Open notes, if you want to take notes or write something, if you want to grab one right now, I will not be offended in the least if you want one of these. But this is a way just to kind of keep track of maybe what God might be wanting to teach you through his word as we're walking through it. The whole series is this idea of faith working. Does our faith actually work? Does it make sense? And that's what we're going to be examining today in God's word. So if you have your Bible with you, or even a blue booklet, we're going to be in first chapter of James, verse 9. As you turn there, let me catch you up to where we've been. This is week 3. Week 1 was all about forging our faith in the trials of this world. We talked about the fire, the trials, and our faith goes in, it's forged, it's purified, and we can find even joy in the midst of trials. Paradox in itself, really. Week 2, last week, we talked about wisdom. And we asked the question, who is lacking wisdom? And we said, yeah, right here, all of us. We are lacking wisdom. And true wisdom comes in relationship. That's what we looked at. Looked at the idea of wisdom in the midst of relationship. All right, now we jump into the continuation. Chapter 1, verse 9. This is how James continues. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Two paradox we just read. The first one we see in verse 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Let's stop right there. The lowly brother boasts in his exaltation. There's a lot going on in those few words. And whenever I study the Bible, hopefully you do too at home, you pause to say, what do these words mean? We don't just read things and be like, I don't know, I'll just keep moving on. But we pause to really dig into what's going on here. And that's what I'm going to do for a couple of minutes. And so really the first word is this idea of brother. He's talking to brothers and sisters who are in Christ. This is a conversation for the church. This isn't a conversation for the world. This is a conversation for those who understand who Jesus Christ is. And so he says, I'm going to talk to my brothers in Christ. And he says, the brothers who are lowly. What does that mean? Well, some of your translations that you have use the word humble. Here's a great indicator of really where he's going, because this word lowly is really juxtaposed with this idea of rich. And so he's really talking at a socioeconomic level. This is a conversation about poverty and those who don't have a lot. And in the first century, there was a lot of them in this church. Remember, they were being transplanted. They were being persecuted. Think about the ideas of building wealth in that kind of first century environment. Very, very difficult. Wealth came, wealth left, famines, all these other things that would really decimate culture. And so he's talking about let the lowly brother, the one who doesn't have a lot, who is poor, in poverty. And then he says this, let him boast in his exaltation. Wait a second. Boasting? Isn't that bad? Boasting, being prideful. Most of the time it is. There are exceptions, especially when we are boasting in the things of the Lord. And that's what's going to be going on here. But it's a good way to kind of say, well, why are we boasting here? Why is he boasting? And so you put it all together, it says that the lowly brother who is in Christ, let him boast in his exaltation. And that's simply a word for high place, his high standing, his high position. And so there is the first paradox. How can those who are low exalt themselves and boast in the things of high position? That is the paradox. All right, so we're going to pause right there, because this week I was thinking more about poverty and being poor. And I was really thinking, because I'm someone who has had the wonderful opportunity to travel just to a few spots of the world outside of the United States. I've had the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic. I've been to sugarcane fields and seen poverty. I've been to rural parts of China. I've seen where people have next to nothing. I've been to the Ukraine, and I'm watching people who struggle to exist in all of these three separate contexts. And this is what I know about being poor and poverty. It really is contextual. And a lot of times the numbers don't tell the whole story. This is what I'm talking about. This is a chart I found. This chart kind of is really interesting. It's a couple of years old, but it tells the story about kind of the global income distribution. And what it really is doing here is different colors. Like this blue color, for instance, is those who live with all of their expenses every single day. This is expenses of living and eating and whatever it might be to exist in their country. They live on less than $1.90 per day. That's what the blue is. The next color of purple is between $1.90 and $10 a day. The next kind of lighter color is those living on $10 to $30 a day. And the green is those living on more than $30 per day. And then when you go down into this chart, you can see how these colors match up and see that the sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia and the Middle East and North Africa and East Asia, most of the world is living on really less than $2 a day. It's an incredible story. And then you look about our own country, high-income countries, and you look about this green bar and how much it costs to live per day in countries like our own. And then even these other categories get smaller and smaller to the point where it's not even negligible to see how people are living at that kind of level. And so I put this chart up here to say this, that poverty is contextual. Because sometimes you're making more than $30 a day, and you're still struggling. I was talking to a woman who is a server in a local restaurant, an older woman. She's been at the same restaurant chain for 36 years. 36 years doing the same thing, bringing out people's breakfast, bringing out people's lunch, meal after meal, 36 years. And as you talk to her, she says, I make enough to exist. I'm paying my mortgage. I am paying for my vehicle. And I am just trying to stay healthy enough to continue doing what I am doing. And in that moment, I was thinking, well, is there more you're after? Is there more you're chasing after? Is there more? And you look at this woman, and she was very content. And the more I got to talk to her, she is a fellow believer. And she wasn't on the chase for more. She wasn't trying to climb up the corporate ladder and all that. She was very content in what she was doing. But I will tell you, most people would look at her and say, you are at the bottom. She was living paycheck to paycheck. And you should be, in our American culture, you should be discontent, right? You should be climbing. You should be always gaining and more and more. And for her, that wasn't what she was chasing after. She was okay with where she was at. She was okay with what she was making. See, we live in a culture where there's always the chase and the allure of more, the messaging of don't be content, always be grabbing on to more. Now, for those of you who resonate with paradox number one, that is your story. You're living paycheck to paycheck and you're thinking you're at the bottom and you're wondering, now you come to a paradox where the Bible is saying, boast in your exaltation. You're thinking, what do I have to be exalted in? Here's what you have to be exalted in. If you are a Christ follower, you are rich. You are rich. Beyond compare, you are rich. You can boast in your humble position in the things of Christ and what he has done. How rich are you? The Apostle Paul describes it this way. It's a perfect passage to speak of the kind of wealth that you have as a Christ follower. Paul will say, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and, notice this, seated us with him in the heavenly places. An exalted position you have. He goes on, this heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How can the lowly boast in their exaltation? It's in seeing yourself as God sees you. He sees you as rich. Notice what he has done. He has seated you in the heavenly places. There is something that can never be taken or tarnished because of your faith in Christ. These momentary times that we have here on this earth will never compare to the eternity that we have. And so James says here with paradox number one, this is how you can embrace this truth. You can be boastful in the Lord. Oh, what Christ has done. And that's exactly what this woman was doing in this restaurant. She was displaying that. She was saying, my hope is in him. Not in my 36 years of just kind of making it, but my hope is in him. How Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount will say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who have found Christ who are poor in spirit can say, I am rich. I am rich. I'm a kingdom owner. I'm part of his kingdom. And it's incredible. And so there are some who are here, sitting here, right here, right now, who need to hear this paradox and to embrace it. You need to embrace this because you are living downtrodden and you're thinking to yourself, I'm never making it. Paycheck to paycheck, it's lowly, and I guess you just kind of live and die. And the paradox wants to lift you up. This paradox wants to lift those who are downtrodden, and so the world says you are. You can say, I'm not because of what he has done for me. And if you know Jesus Christ, then embrace the paradox. Even though your earthly situation may be here, your heavenly, your status, your identity is in Him. May that lift you and encourage you today. Some of us need to hear paradox number one and embrace it. I'm guessing for the majority of us, we need to hear and embrace paradox number two. It's a bit more challenging. Notice what it says. We go back to James, the second paradox. He starts off by, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Now, paradox two, and the rich in his humiliation. Wait a second. It's almost like the opposite paradox. The low, exaltation. Now he's talking to the rich. And he's saying to those who have an earthly high position, you're wealthy. May you boast in your humiliation. And he's pointing you in the opposite direction. Wait a second. The second paradox for the rich to boast in his humiliation. Who wants to do that? That's not the American way. We like to boast in what we have, flaunt what we have. We've made it. We're self-made. We made it to the top. Look at us. That's exactly what the world keeps whispering into our ears as well. And this is a harder paradox. My opinion is paradox number two is much harder for us to hear, maybe because we live a lot in the green category of that first chart. And there's culturally lots of indicators that this is the American way. There's lots of examples. I'm going to point you to one of them. You're familiar with Forbes, right? Forbes keeps track of the richest people in the world. And I was looking at it this past week, this chart, and it's, you know, all the people and their wealth and Elon Musk and all Zuckerberg and all of these people. But here's the thing that really was a really sharp indicator of how, as Americans, we really favor those who are rich. If you look down here to this methodology in real time, the billionaire rankings, these, if you read this paragraph, says, is updated every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, we must know who is the richest. Every 5 minutes, we must know who is the greatest. And we keep calculating and calculating net worth and all of these things and chasing after the things that the world says. Now, how do I know this is a harder paradox? Because Jesus said it would be. Jesus said it would be a harder paradox. Remember, a rich man came to him and said, what's going on? And Jesus challenged him and said, I want you to take all of your possessions and sell them. Because here's what Jesus knew. He knew that his heart was embracing his lofty position, and he knew nothing of the paradox. And so what happened to that? That rich man went away sad. Because he knew he couldn't give it up. He knew that he couldn't part with all of it. And so as we get to in the gospel, the next thing that Jesus says to his disciples is fascinating. Notice what he says. After they saw this man come and walk away, because he couldn't do it, Jesus says this. He looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. Here's what caught my attention this week in this passage. Jesus then, it's like they were amazed at what he said, but Jesus had to say it again in a different way to catch their attention of how difficult this is going to be. This is a warning. And notice what he says. Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It's a stiff warning for all those who live in first world nations. Jesus knew that it would be challenging and difficult to go from the high position to the low one, to embrace something of this paradox. You see, James knew that this was going to be difficult too, and that's why he puts more words around it, around this paradox, than he did with the first. Notice back in James, he talked about how this is going to be difficult. So difficult, he uses these kinds of words. He says, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will be the rich man. He will fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Here's what caught my attention this week. Because a lot of times you read these verses and you're like, oh yeah, our stuff is passing away. Our houses are breaking down. All of our cars will eventually rust in the salt of Northeast Ohio. All of these things are just kind of fading. Possessions come and possessions go. That's not what James says. Notice what he says. He says, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. He goes right to the trump card and he says, yeah, stuff's going to pass away. We all know that. But here's what you really need to embrace, rich person. You are fading. You are fading. You are perishing. You're breaking down. Embrace the paradox while you have time. Because Jesus would also say, you can't serve two masters, by the way. You'll love one, hate the other. It's not going to work out well. And he says that exactly about this topic. The love of money and the love of God. So difficult to embrace paradox number two. All of us know that it's difficult. All of us know the things of this world and how alluring they are. There's a trap in getting more, having more, always upgrading and improving. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying beware. Just beware. Randy Alcorn, he's a Christian writer. He writes a very thin book. You can read this book in an hour. It's called The Treasure Principle. He talks about the wealth of this world, and in it, he talks about the allure and the subtle dominating things of materialism. He tells this story. Here it is. I quoted it. He says, Nancy, his wife, Nancy and I have lived in our house for 23 years. For the first 9 years, we had ugly orange carpet. Anybody have orange carpet? Ugly orange carpet? We never cared what happened to it. The day we finally installed new carpet, someone lit a candle. The match head fell off and burned a hole in the carpet. The day before, we wouldn't have cared. Now we were upset. Were we better off with our nice new possession? Every item we buy is one more thing to think about, talk about, clean, repair, rearrange, fret over, and replace when it goes bad. He's the first one to say. He's not talking about not getting new carpet or having a new car or a new house. He's saying, watch your heart in the midst of wealth. It's a tricky, difficult thing because it has the ability to keep you perched at the top. It has that power to do that. What's the secret of the paradox? Well, the secret of the paradox is to embrace this thing of the humility. What's the humility in having lots of stuff? The humility is to realize that the stuff is never going to satisfy your soul. All of this stuff of the world is never going to fill the need that your heart has. And that's the first part of understanding the paradox. Let us boast in our humiliation. What's the humiliation? The humiliation is the gospel. We actually believe that the King of Kings came to the lowly town of Bethlehem. Really? It wasn't more glorious than that? No, it wasn't. We believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross with criminals. Humiliating. We believe that. And so in the midst of all of our high places of rich and wealth, we need to really work hard at embracing the things of the gospel. The things of riches will never, never help us in. The things of our heart, our brokenness, our need for a savior, our own sin. Come on, wealth will never answer that. There's only one thing that will, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who are wealthy need to understand this and embrace it, because at times wealth can keep you perched at the top. May we boast in the humiliation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was writing to a young pastor named Timothy, and this topic is all over the New Testament. Notice what he says to Timothy. He says, as for the rich, he's telling them what to say to those he'll come across who are rich. And he says this, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be, notice the word, haughty, prideful, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. There's the paradox. But to set their hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. That is the secret of the paradox. So let's pause here, and as we conclude, let's just ask some simple questions. What is the Lord speaking to you today? What is he saying to you in the midst of these two paradoxes? What do you need to hear? And maybe those who are lowly on the world standards needed to hear something of encouragement. Maybe those who are in the world's estimation on the top of it all need to be challenged by something of their own wealth. Maybe it means something about simplicity and getting rid of. And I don't know what you heard, but the Lord is speaking through his word to you. We are people who are going in the opposite direction of the world. The world is going that way, and we are embracing the paradox of the kingdom of God. May all of us have ears to hear what the Lord wants us to hear today. Let me pray for us. Dear God, we give you thanks. These things are hard to sort out on our own, impossible on our own. We would hear something much different from the world and chase after the things that are much different than your kingdom. And so thank you for bringing us your word into our lives and allowing us to think hard about the paradox of the kingdom of God. We want to be people who honor you in the things of our poverty. We want to honor you in the things of our wealth. We want to have our identity in you. May we be individuals who boast in the Lord. May we be a church that boasts in the Lord, the things of the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for all of this, and we pray this by the power of your Son's name. Amen.